Like, I don't care what happens in my life. Cancer, death, getting laid off, whatever. I don't care. As long as I'm in the house of my Heavenly Father and my God is with me, I've got everything in my life. Hallelujah.
Hey, thank you for clicking on this video. I hope and pray you hear a word from God that will encourage your soul.
I'm excited. You know, the 250 years is pretty significant, but I want to share with you a couple of things. First, on May 17, 1776, George Washington and the Second Continental Congress called for a day of humility, fasting, prayer, and repentance, seeking God's help in the founding of our great nation. This day is probably not as popular as July 4, 1776. But just 7 weeks before that famous day, our forefathers, a group of them, said, hey, we need to humble ourselves before God. We need to make sure we're right with God. We need to make sure we repent of our sins. We need to fast, we need to abstain from food, and we need to cry out to God. It's an important word because we need to do the same thing. It's good for us to humble ourselves. It's good for us to cry out to God. God waits for you to cry out to Him. God doesn't want you to give up on your faith. God doesn't want you to give up on Him. God wants you to come to Him with your problems. And God wants you to humble yourself and seek His face and repent. That's to change one's mind. There's nothing more powerful than a changed mind. And the beginning of a life of freedom is a changed mind. I'm talking to all of you who are stubborn. If you're sitting by someone really stubborn, just blink really fast, and I'll know who you are. You keep reading, and 7 weeks later, here it is. On July 4, 1776, the United States Declaration of Independence was finalized and adopted by 56 men and was soon signed and distributed throughout the colonies. It declared that the 13 American colonies were a sovereign nation completely severed from British rule. Well, thank God. I am a grateful American. I am grateful for those who serve in the military. I served in the military myself, and I am grateful for all of those. I thought about this declaration, and it was a declaration. If there's an example of the power of a declaration, I think it's July 4, 1776. It's when you say, enough. We're not going to live like this anymore. We're not going to live this way anymore. Enough. And I thought, well, that's what church is, isn't it? You come to church, all of us have this prayer. You're here by faith. We're worshiping God. You're singing these great songs. But there's something powerful when you make a declaration and you say, I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to trust God. I'm not going to worry. I'm going to put my hope in God. There is something powerful when you make that kind of prayer. Incredibly powerful. And you might say it under your breath. Maybe as the preacher is preaching. The declaration says, we hold these truths to be self-evident that men, all men, are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. All the way back, 1776, people wanted to be happy. They wanted a better quality of life. I think all of us have a 1776 inside of us. Don't you think? I think everybody in this room wants to live a good life. I think everyone in this room wants to have just a great quality of life, and you want to, I mean, I don't know about you, but I was bothered that Chipotle was closed last night. I mean, that really messed me up. I'm like, what in the world? I felt like it was a, you know, zombie apocalypse or something last night, and I'm like, this is not fun at all. I enjoy the happiness of, like, a steak burrito and a bowl, whatever it is. Here's what happened that day that is not talked about a lot. King George recorded something in his diary. On this same day, that our forefathers signed the Declaration of Independence. And he, on July 4, 1776, here's what was in his diary. Nothing of importance happened today. True story. Yeah, wow. You know what that reminds me of? You have these people sitting on the other side of the pond, these forefathers that signed this declaration and say, enough. Enough. And then on the other side of the pond, you have King George there who's sitting on his throne, and he's oblivious. Maybe he knows, maybe he thinks it's insignificant, whatever the case might be. And he is not fully aware of the significance of that Declaration of Independence. I'm going to bring it down to you right here, guys. You could make a decision here during this service that will not only impact your life, but it'll impact everyone in your home and everyone in your circle. It's that quiet decision that only you can make. It's that quiet decision that you say, I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. I want to be set free from that addiction. I want to be set free from that anger. I want to be set free from my pride. I want to be set free from you fill in the blank, whatever it is. You could, I mean, like God knows when you're for real. God knows when you really, really, really say a prayer and it's coming straight from your heart. The Bible teaches us that the greatest freedom isn't found in a constitution, it's found in Jesus Christ. That's the greatest freedom. We're going to look at one verse today. Is that cool, guys? One verse, and of course, you know me, there's going to be a few other verses supporting this one verse, but Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, here it is. Paul the Apostle said this to early church Christians in Galatia. It is for freedom, say freedom with me, freedom. I feel like we should do, like, freedom! You know what I mean? Every guy, yeah, you know. Anyway, it is for freedom that Christ has set us, what? Isn't that interesting? Like, why would this word says, Paul says, you know what, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. The implication here is you weren't free before Christ. You weren't truly free until Christ. Now, you may think you were free, but you weren't free. Why would God have sent his son Jesus if you were already free? No. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. What were we freed from? Then it says, stand firm. Say, stand firm. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again. Say again with me. By a yoke of slavery. So we're going to look at those three parts in this one verse right here. What is freedom? What is freedom? I think a lot of us, we do some, maybe you make some financial decisions because you say one day, I want to be free to do whatever I want, whenever I want. However I want. I want to spend my money on whatever I want. I want to live wherever I want. I want to travel. You know, we have this version of freedom, and that's how we think. We think, okay, I'll be truly happy when I can do whatever, whenever, however, and then I'll be truly happy. If I could eat peanuts and watch ESPN, then I'm truly happy. You know what I mean? Whatever it is. But freedom is the power to become the person God created you to be. Freedom is the power and the ability to pursue God's purpose in your life. A bird, I think we can all, I saw some bald eagles over there on 136, you know, there's by this pond, you all see these bald eagles there. And I've always thought, wow, it'd be really cool to fly like a bird. Anybody ever think stuff like that? Like, I think it'd be cool to fly around. Just if you haven't, just nod your head anyway, just because it makes me feel better. But I would agree, I think all of us would agree that birds are free because we see them flying. But they can't swim. Are they still free? See, they're created for a specific purpose. You are created to know God. You are created to worship God. You are created for the purpose of God. So we have to understand what freedom is and what freedom isn't. The world defines freedom as having no boundaries. God defines freedom as living without bondage. Glory to God. There's a difference. There is a story in the Bible, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. It's called the Prodigal Son. It's a famous story. It's one of my favorite stories. It's also known as the Parable of the Lost Son. And this son was living, you know, under the roof of his dad. His dad, we understand, is a godly man. His dad had boundaries in the home. And when one day his son, maybe he woke up in the middle of the night, I don't know. But he said, you know what, I'm not happy here. I want more freedom in my life. So I'm going to go to dad and I'm going to tell him, Dad, give me my money that's due to me when you die. I know you're not dead yet, but I prefer you dead because I prefer the money. That's basically the message he was telling his dad. Whew. So dad gives him money lovingly, graciously, and the young man goes, and scripture says he just partied hard. He partied hard, and he did everything his desires wanted him to do. It was complete freedom. And he just had a lot of sex, did a lot of drinking, partied hard, hired some prostitutes, did everything literally his sinful nature wanted him to do or was urging him to do. And one day the money ran out. One day there was a famine. One day he's feeding a bunch of pigs. And scripture says he finally came to his senses. You know what he thought of? You know what? Being with my father was better than all of this. The love of my father was better than all of those prostitutes I slept with in bed. The love of my father was better than living far away from home. And scripture says he decided, you know what, I'm just gonna return home. I'm gonna do that. But here's what he discovered. What looked like freedom was actually slavery. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know, I want this and I want that and I'm going to be in this relationship and I'm going to look at this video on my phone and I'm going to be full of pride or whatever it is. What looks like freedom actually was slavery. It's one of the deceptions of the devil. It's just the way the devil works. The devil convinces you that what he has for you is better. Sin always advertises freedom, but delivers chains. Always does. I know it's hard because you have this sinful nature inside of you. And I mean, sin can be fun. There's these desires. There's these things, these thoughts, whatever it might be inside of you. But the truth is you can have a lot and be in chains. You can be in church and be in chains. You could be married and be in chains. You can drive a really cool car and be in chains. You can have a successful business and be in chains. You can be a preacher and be in chains. That's the truth. You know, this morning I read Isaiah 61 in the back before I come up to preach all the time. And one of the words the Lord showed me, I'm just going to show you, share with this, Isaiah chapter 61. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners." Isn't that powerful? The very gospel, the good news, the word of God is intended to proclaim liberty to you. Freedom, real freedom to you. I've discovered it has nothing to do with materials or possessions. It has nothing to do with that. It's all about your relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not about you having more or the freedom to do what you want, whenever you want, whatever it is. It's about your relationship with God. Jesus was questioned about this freedom stuff in John chapter 8. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, now who are these people? These are Jewish believers, and they're just starting their walk with God. It's like some of you, maybe you crossed that line of faith, or maybe you've been a Christian now for a week or a month or 6 months, whatever it is, a year even, and you're learning what it means to be a Christian. I'm so glad you're here. Jesus said to these people who were new in faith, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings." So there's this important part of if you call yourself a Christian, one of the marks that you are a Christian is that you remain faithful. That you remain faithful. In other places, I'm thinking of John chapter 15, Jesus talks about abiding and remaining. I think about that also. But there is a conscious choice that you know what, regardless of the storms in my life, regardless of the things that I face, regardless of how I'm feeling, my emotions, regardless of when life seems unjust, I'm going to hold on to the teachings of Jesus. I'm going to hold on to them. Verse 32, "And you will know the truth," and let's read it out loud, guys. "The truth will set you." Now, isn't that an interesting thought? Well, Scripture says the word of God is truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14, 6. And here he says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The fact that you know the truth. Here's what it looks like. Do not covet. Don't be in that affair. Do not lust with your thoughts. Do not be greedy. Do not hate. Do not bear a grudge. See, knowing truth is the doorway of freedom. You hear that? It's being aware that, okay, this is God's will, and the way I'm living doesn't line up with the will of God, but now that I know, I'm going to get right with God. Now that I know, God doesn't want me to treat my woman like that. Now that I know, God doesn't want me to be having sex outside of marriage. Now that I know, God wants me to honor him with everything, every part of my life. Now that I know, God cares about my thought life. Now that the truth will set you free. You hear that? The truth will set you free. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Verse 33, he says, "But we're descendants of Abraham," they said. We've never been slaves to anybody. What do you mean you will be set free? So these are relatively new Jewish believers. And you can tell how they see themselves. We're descendants of Abraham. We're already free. Abraham is our spiritual father. I mean, Abraham is the top of the patriarch. There's Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And, you know, this is our pedigree. It's like when you talk to somebody and you talk to them about Jesus, or you talk to them about the Bible, or you talk to them about church, and they say, "Well, I grew up in church. My dad was a pastor. My great-grandpa was a pastor." Whatever it is, they say something along the lines that I've been walking with God a long time. So you're talking to the wrong audience, bro. You know what? You should talk to that person that over there. They look pretty messed up. Why don't you go talk to them? I am so far along in my walk with God. And Jesus is saying, you ain't that far. There's more. And then look what he says. Verse 34, Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave of sin." Wow. Scripture says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Scripture says if you commit one sin, you've committed all the sins. Scripture says the heart is deceitfully wicked and evil. Who could understand it? Scripture says God demonstrated his love towards us and that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. Scripture says for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what Scripture says. So if you messed up in one, you've messed up in all. If you've sinned in one and you've sinned in all. And Jesus is saying you're a slave and you don't even know it. I think that's worse than being a slave. To be in a spiritual prison and not be aware of it. To the point where it is your norm. You think anger is your norm. You think lust is your norm. You think pride is your norm. You've been living with it for so long, it's your norm. And Jesus is saying, it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. And then he says, a slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. He's saying, you know what? It's better to be a son than a slave. Thank you, Lord. And verse 36 says, Jesus says, so if the Son sets you free, you are truly. Now, I want to read this in the New American Standard Bible version because I think it's really cool. I want us to read it out loud. It's a good memory verse. Let's go. So if the. I think I just like the way it rhymes. You'll be free indeed. Did you see what it says? If the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. See, there's a difference with being free and being free indeed. Did you hear that? There is a difference. These Jewish believers were experiencing freedom. I gave my life to Jesus. I've been going through. I serve or whatever it is. They're like they're experiencing freedom. But Jesus is saying, if you stay on this road, if you stay on this path, if you obey my teachings, if you're faithful to me, if you do those things, you will be free indeed. In other words, those things that have a hold on you will no longer have a hold on you. Hallelujah. It's like here in this church, guys, we have so many people who are free indeed. We have people who are free as well. We have both. And I think about some of those people that maybe they battled an addiction with alcohol or something. And I love the fact that they're up in the front and they're saying hello to people and they're under our tent. And, you know, now there are bouncers for the kingdom of heaven and they're saying hello to everybody. And you know what a lot of them tell me? Hey, you know what? I used to go into that liquor store all the time. And I don't go in that liquor store anymore. Now there are a few parking spots away from that liquor store, and they're greeting people in the church. Now they can walk by the liquor store, and they're free indeed. Glory to God. That's our God. See, God knows how to redeem. He knows how to restore. He knows how to give you joy. He's a good God. I want to talk about slaves just a little bit. It's not the kind of slaves that you might be thinking of, but in the Bible, the word slave is doulos. That's the Greek word, doulos. It means a servant or a bondservant. And Jesus talked about this idea of slavery. He talked about this idea a slave is not a permanent member of the family. And in Scripture, you see this word appear 120 times in the New Testament. It's this idea of submission to a master. The word doulos there is one who is subservient to and entirely at the disposal of their master or a slave. Paul compares to slavery with a life of sin. He says in Romans chapter 7, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. That's what we inherit from our grandparents, spiritual grandparents, Adam and Eve. I want to do what is right, but I can't. Anybody been there before? I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. I've discovered this principle of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another power within me, say within me, that is at war, say war with me, war with my mind. And this power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. So Paul is saying, man, I want to do what's right. I really want to stop cussing. I really want to get out of that relationship. I really want to control my tongue. I want to be a better man. I really want to be a woman that God wants me to be. Whatever it is, that's my desire. So my intention is there, but I mess up. And Paul is saying, you know, this is an inside battle that nobody else sees. This is the real UFC match right here. And within me, my intentions are good. But it's so strong that I'm like a slave to my sinful nature. I'm not strong enough. My willpower is not strong enough. My best intentions are not enough. My strength, my intelligence, my IQ, my creativity, I'm not strong enough. He has a spiritual awareness. Peter said this, you are a slave to whatever controls you. Wow. So the next question is, what's controlling you? What is it? Sometimes it's ourself. Sometimes we're just enamored with ourself. Now you may say, well, that's not me, but you don't like to be wrong. You'll argue with others. You got to have the last word. Nah, that's probably not you. I'm thinking of somebody else, but you can't stop looking at that phone. You can't stop playing that game. Just one more hit. It's just been a rough day. I'm just going to take a sip. It's just been a rough day. I'm going to let my thoughts wander and go, and I'm going to do things. This is all part of the job. This is, you know what I'm talking about? Peter said, you're a slave to whatever controls you. A slave, that's a powerful word, isn't it? I know none of us like that, but this is spiritual talk. You could be a slave in a free country. You could be a slave. He goes on to say, don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Everybody serves something or someone. Choose your master wisely. I like what Mark Batterson said. True strength and liberty are born out of spiritual surrender and dependence on God. That's where it comes back to your relationship with God. It's not about your quality of life, per se. It's about your relationship with God. Paul said, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. And then he says, stand firm. Standing firm implies there's going to be things that are going to want to shake you. That's why. Why would it say stand firm if standing firm wasn't in danger? There's going to be things that are going to happen in your life that are going to make you want to walk away from God. There's going to be things that are going to happen in your life that's going to want to make you walk away from faith, walk away from your home, walk away from your marriage, walk away from living a godly life, walk away, just like the prodigal son. And he's saying, no, you've got to stand firm. Now, I want you to hear this. If the word of God says stand firm, that means it's possible to stand firm. God's not going to ask you to do something that's impossible. Now, you got to have Christ living in you, and you need the Holy Spirit. Whew. There's the message. I'm getting ahead of myself. But standing firm is only possible in Christ with the power of the Holy Spirit. You got to stand firm. And I think about, you know, our storms in life. The strongest tree in the storm isn't the one that moves the most. It's the one whose roots go down the deepest. You ever see those YouTube videos of, like, trees just being blown over and just craziness and tornadoes and all that stuff? And, you know, the trees that stand are the ones that are planted alongside the river, who feed on the word of God every single day. Oh, baby, it's the ones who go to church and say, God, I'm going to surrender everything to you. I am spiritually ripe for your will. And I have died to myself, and I am living for you, God. And your word is in my heart, and I meditate on your word day and night. Those are the ones whose roots go down. See, like, how far do your roots go down, really? If I were the devil, I'd be like, oh, just make this happen. Make him lose his job, and he'll walk away from God. Make him get hurt by a woman, he'll walk away from God. I talk to men all the time. It's because I love them like a brother. But it could be women as well. Whatever it is, how far do your roots go down? Verse 3, or the last part of verse 1 said, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. And I think about that word again. What's up with that? If you're free, you can be free indeed. But Paul the Apostle is saying, watch out. Watch out. Because like that liquor store, you could be free indeed, and one day you can say, you know what, I'm having a rough day. I'm just going to go into the liquor store, and I just want to buy some matches, that's all. You know what I'm saying? You can be free indeed, but you can go back to an old habit. You could have a hard day where you're so discouraged, you're so tired, you're so worn out, and you're like, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to go Vegas. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to live life like that prodigal just for the night. And Paul is saying, be careful. To be free in Christ is not a license to sin. Not a license to sin. I love the grace of God, don't you? But here's how the enemy can work. Even with a good thing like the grace of God, you could say to yourself, you know what? It doesn't matter what I do because God's going to forgive me anyway. You know, it really doesn't matter that I'm disobeying here because God is extending his grace to me. And the blood of Jesus is so great. I don't have to be completely obedient. I don't have to completely surrender. I don't have to. No, no. See, you're abusing the grace of God and you're treating it like cheap grace, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer would say. It's not cheap grace. It's enough grace to cover you and me. And it's a grace that we find in Christ Jesus. That's why Paul says in verse 13, he says, for you've been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. Don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Wow. He's saying, you enjoying that grace of God? You enjoying that forgiveness of God? You enjoying your sins being forgiven? Lap it up. It's so good. But check it out. It's not just about you. You have a responsibility. As long as you have breath in your lungs, God is not done with you yet. As long as you have breath in your lungs, God's not done with you yet. As long as you have breath in your lungs, God has a purpose for you. And God is saying, you know what? It's not just about you. I want you to love others now, just the way I have loved you. I want you to love others. I want them to see me in you. That's what Jesus is saying. I got to talk about this this word servant or bond servant. It's this Hebrew in the Old Testament. The slave or bondservant was the same. This is the same word that we see in the New Testament called doulos. And in the Old Testament, you see this word. And in the Old Testament, there were slaves. And maybe it was because you owed a debt to someone, or maybe you were just in a certain living situation, financial situation, where you needed to live in someone's house. And so for 6 years in the Old Testament, you'd be a slave, and you'd live under their roof. And at year seven, you could walk away. But there was something about the Mosaic law that spoke to these servants or bond servants or slaves. So if you were a slave in the Old Testament and you're living in your master's house and he's treating you with kindness and the quality of life you recognize is really good here, and you have a bed, you have shelter, and you feel loved, check it out. The slave could say, I don't think I want to leave. I know it's year seven and I can leave, but I think I want to stay in the house. So the Mosaic law speaks to that situation. Exodus chapter 21 says, but the slave may declare, I love my master, my wife, and my children. I don't want to go free. If he does this, his master must present him before God. Then his master must take him to the door or doorpost and publicly pierce his ear with an awl. That's this pointed hand tool that was used for making leather and other things. So take him to this. I wish I had a doorpost, and I wish I had like a screwdriver to pierce someone's ear right now. But ear piercing is in the Old Testament, and they would pierce his ear with this awl right on this door. I mean, publicly in front of everyone, pierce him right that. And says after that, the slave will serve his master for life. Now you think, wow, how does this relate? In the New Testament, that's the reason. In Romans chapter 1, Paul says, this letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach his good news. James says, this letter is from James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, we're serving someone all the time. And he's making this comparison that when you turn to Jesus and you give your life to Jesus and you recognize the kindness and love of God and his mercy and his compassion, and there's nobody that loves you like your God, and nobody cares about you like your God, and nobody knows the number of hairs on your head like your God, and nobody knows your fears and worries and anxieties like your God, and your God loves you so much, you could make this decision that I want to be a slave to my God for the rest of my life. I'll say it again. I have no life, but I've got an amazing life, baby. A lot of you can say that too. Like, I don't care what happens in my life. Cancer, death, getting laid off, whatever. I don't care. As long as I'm in the house of my heavenly Father and my God is with me, I've got everything in my life. Hallelujah. To be free in Christ means you're free from the penalty of sin. To be free in Christ means you're free from the power of sin. To be free in Christ means you're free from the law and legalism. To be free in Christ means you're free from fear and shame. To be free in Christ means you're free from anything that was holding you back from living out God's purpose. See, being a bondservant of Jesus Christ means absolute devotion. Absolute devotion. My ears are pierced. Can you see it? You can't see them? They're pierced. I got stuck on a doorpost. There was blood everywhere, but it was a glorious day. Absolute devotion. I think God wants to pierce some ears today. Romans chapter 8 says, so now there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Oh my word, think about it. This is a word for those of you who keep beating yourself up. This is a word for those of you who can't forgive yourself. You just think about the past and all the things you did wrong. You've learned to live with regret and guilt. You've been married once, twice, three times, four times. You don't talk to your kids anymore. You made some decisions when you were younger. You keep messing up. I want you to hear this again. There is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. You need the Holy Spirit. See, you can be free, and you can be free indeed. And to be free indeed involves the Holy Spirit filling you. The Holy Spirit giving you power. The Holy Spirit giving you strength. The Holy Spirit speaking to your ear about what is right and what is wrong. What is sin and what is righteousness. Speaking in your ear about the will of God. Speaking in your ear about the purpose of God for your life. And you've got to be able to listen to that. My favorite verse here, guys, is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And, let's read it out loud, guys. Where the Spirit... Oh, one more time, baby. And where the Spirit of the Lord is... Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So you came to church, and I want you to know God wants to set you free. Free from alcoholism, free from addiction, free from pain, free from hurt, free from jealousy, free from grudges, free from trying to make others happy. He wants to set you free, completely free. Glory to God. He wants to set you free. That means you don't have to have anxiety anymore. You don't have to worry anymore. You don't have to live with that guilt or that shame anymore. You have a God that wants to set you free. He wants to pierce some ears today. He wants you to turn to him. He wants you to say yes to him. He wants you to recognize his love and his grace and his mercy. He wants you to turn to him. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. He wants to set you free. He loves you so much. You're passing in this world, guys. None of us are going to live forever, but you could know the love and grace of God here and now. You could turn to Jesus right now and say, Jesus, I give you my life. I want to follow you all the days of my life. So then when you face storms in life and things are happening, you are standing firm because your roots go down to your relationship with Jesus Christ. And nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is too difficult for God. God can do anything he wants, but he wants to pierce your ear, baby. He wants you to turn to him. He wants you to wholeheartedly, absolute devotion, say, God, I'm giving you my life. I want you, Jesus, to be my slave. I am a slave to my God, and I'm going to live for him forever. Anybody with me, put your hands together if you're with me. Oh, Lord, help me. You ready to make a decision? You ready? I'm talking to you who came to church. Maybe you were dragged to church. You're here, and maybe you didn't call yourself a Christian, and this stuff was all new to you. But today, you've sent something inside your heart. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Remember, truth will make you free, will set you free. So here in this church, every service, we give people an opportunity to become a Christian. It's a personal decision, but it's a public decision. Jesus publicly went to the cross for you. So I'm going to just call you out. If you're here right now and you're really not a Christian, but today you recognize that you've been a slave to the wrong things. You recognize that you've been chasing the wrong things. And today you're going to make a decision to give your life to Jesus Christ, and you want to become a Christian. Here it is. You ready for this? You ready? Stand up really quickly if you're ready to do that. My young man stands up every time. Hallelujah. Anybody else, you're ready to become a Christian today. You want to put your faith in Jesus. Stand up really quickly. Stand up really quickly. Anybody else? You ready to give him? There's dad with him saying, I'll do it again. Anybody else? You're ready to give your life to Jesus. You're ready to give your life to Jesus. Praise the Lord. My brother. All right, here's the next one. Anybody need their ear pierced? Come on. God, thank you. Oh, Lord. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Jesus, you are Lord. I rebuke every demon in the name of Jesus Christ from this place. I rebuke every demon from every home. Jesus, you are Lord of this place and our homes. If you're ready to give your life to Jesus, just say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Forgive me for my sins. Get behind the steering wheel of my life and just take over. Others of you, I just maybe need to say this prayer. God, I need you to pierce my ear. I want to become a slave for you, Jesus. I want to live in your house all the days of my life. Put your Holy Spirit inside of me. I don't want to just be free. I want to be free indeed. Set me free from every stronghold right now, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, set me free right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Take away that appetite for those sinful things in the name of Jesus Christ. Set me free completely in the name of Jesus. Make it taste horrible to me, God. I pray that it's not attractive to me anymore. Set me free. Indeed. Thank you for your presence, God. You're so good. Maybe you need to say this. God, use me now to love others the way you've loved me. Thank you for the breath in our lungs. Lord, I pray a blessing on every man and woman, young and old, in this place. Move in their hearts. Set them free completely in the name of Jesus. I pray that you invade their homes. Holy Spirit, invade their home, their apartment, their condo, wherever they're at, God. I pray that they sense your love in their home. I pray for peace in the home. I pray that you work in every heart, God. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.